Hey, Peter, what's going on there?
Oh, hey, Joe.
Just checking out that Bob Culture podcast they got over there on iTunes. Now get out of here, you big stupid.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bob Culture Podcast Deadpool 2 edition. I am joined by writer, director, and Deadpool cosplayer, not to mention one of my best pals on the whole in the whole universe, Mr. Jeff Masella. Jeff, what is up, bro? How are you?
Would you like to build a snowman?
Yes. That was that just sums it up right there. That was like one of the best points in the movie. And he's like, no one noticed that? It was amazing.
Yeah, it was really funny.
So good, man. So before we talk about the film, man, you know, I've gone to some Comic-Cons with you. You are like hardcore Deadpool cosplayer. I know you just got the swords and stuff. You know, I see you at Comic-Con, you know, like the kids love you, you know, like the geeks like me love you. I know you've told me some cool stories. Why Deadpool, man? Have you always loved Deadpool? And why did you decide to do the cosplay thing, man?
Yeah, I've always loved Deadpool because he was sort of the opposite of Wolverine, and I always thought it was hysterical because, you know, Wolverine is so, it's such a dramatic, you know, deep story, and Deadpool kind of just brings some life into Wolverine in a sense to, like, add some color to it, because it's kind of like a very monochromatic story for Wolverine, and I really enjoy that, like, comedy that gets thrown in there a bit. That's how I really got into him, but for the most part, is like why I cosplay as him. I think it's just because I love that he uses comedy as like a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I just found that that's something that I've loved in my characters. And I also love that he's an anti-hero. And, you know, if I look at my shelf of like character models that I've had like throughout my life, like all of them are basically anti-heroes, which I never noticed until like a month ago. And I was like, holy crap, every character I have up there is anti-hero.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's just, like, I guess it's something I've always been attracted to. I find those characters to be the most interesting, because, you know, everyone always says that villains are the most interesting, and what's, more like, better than an anti-hero? Someone that doesn't do everything perfectly like Cyclops, but, you know, also plays, like, that blurry line through the middle, you know?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, no, I gotcha. I had to get an optic blast in there. Yeah. That's cool, man. And you know what? It makes for great pictures when you're cosplaying, man. Like, all the pictures, you all have, like, the perfect poses. And, you know, I see you interacting with the kids, and I'm like, oh, gosh, please don't curse or anything. But you're really good, you know who to work with, and you know when to tone it down and stuff. So it's really perfect.
Yeah, you know my sense of humor can be a little much sometimes. But
yeah,
when I'm around the kids, I definitely tone it down about 100 notches and...
Yeah,
just try to, you know, give him a good time, just give him some crisp high fives and take a couple of them. But it's kind of fun going to a con at Deadpool because, you know, that you're behind that mask and people expect you to be crazy.
Yep.
So when you can even insult someone like right in their face and they don't care, like they'll just laugh because you're Deadpool.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, how many characters can you actually get away with that?
Yeah.
I had a kid one time came up to me, and I don't know if you remember from the first movie, he was like, this is going to have nuts in it. He like came up and said it like right in my face, and I was like, so is your mom? And he was like, ah, Deadpool! And just like walked away.
That's great. And it's so crazy, man, because, you know, like a lot of the kids I teach, you know, like they, you know, they love the superheroes and they play like the Lego superhero games and like they're all about Deadpool, you know. So I come into work, I'm like, oh, did you guys see the new Deadpool? I'm like, wait, no, you didn't. It's rated R. I'm like, no, you didn't. But they love Deadpool anyway, you know.
Yeah, which is, funnily enough, Emily and I ran into a father and his kid one day at one of the cons, and he was saying that, his son watches Deadpool all the time, and we just kind of looked at each other. And we're just like, your kid's like 5.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, actually, I took it into the editing room. He's like, I edited out like all the parts that were bad and, you know, still had the story self-contained in there.
Right.
So his kid watching like an edited for TV version of Deadpool, which I thought was amazing.
That's interesting. Yeah, so it's probably about, what, 25 minutes or so? No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that's awesome. And Deadpool's awesome. You know, I went into this movie thinking, you know, like I needed a good laugh. Let's just say that. And I went into the movie thinking, like, you know, I heard it was hilarious and it's Deadpool and it'll be fun. And I liked the first one. You know, there were some things about the first one I really liked. Colossus, you know, we had talked about that before and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But there was just so much substance in that movie, like, kind of to your point earlier, saying, like, you know, his humor is a way of dealing with things. Like, I didn't go into the movie necessarily expecting that. You know, I expected a good story, good action, you know, maybe a little bit of drama, but a ton of comedy. And there was so much substance, man. Like it got me a few times, you know?
Yeah, same here. The whole scenes with him and Vanessa being separated by, like, that clear shield.
Yeah.
And that new iteration, I don't know how new it is, but of Take On Me playing in the background.
Dude,
like that.
That
got me choked up a couple times. Even the second time I saw it, I got choked up.
Yeah, man, that Take On Me, like, that came in at the perfect time. And I don't even know who did it, and I should look that up and download it. But yeah, that got me, man. That was such a good scene, man. But yeah, man, oh man, I could talk about the ending all day long. But you know what? Let's start at the beginning, man. You know, we see Deadpool, obviously. You know, with the Hugh Jackman Logan joke, of course, right out of the gate. So that was amazing. And then he pretty much blows himself up on these barrels into a million pieces. Well, not a million pieces. And we kind of, you know, do a little time jump and see what happens. And pretty much right out of the gate, you know, Vanessa gets shot. And you love them. You know, you really, like, care about their relationship. And you see how devastated he is and all the things he goes through, man. And then they have that, you know, again, that perfect balance of humor with that James Bond, Celine Dion kind of intro. What did you think? I mean, just right out of the gate I was in, what did you think about all that?
Well, since Deadpool jumps around a lot, we might have to.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm only saying that because the death for Vanessa, I think, played out. In the beginning, it killed me. And there's not many deaths in comics anymore or comic book movies that really affect any of us because we always know, oh, they're probably going to come back or something's going to happen. And there was just this sense that Vanessa could be dead because it's Deadpool and he'll do anything, you know? And then, fast forward all the way to the end, and then he, you know, uses the time travel device, Cable's time travel device, to, like, go and save her.
Yeah, that was
to
awesome.
Me, that was a great way of sort of, like, playing with the rules for comic books and then breaking those rules, which is exactly Deadpool's style, and completely flipping the script on everyone's emotions from beginning to end. So I was in love with the beginning, especially the second time I saw it.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, no, it was so good, and it really gave, like, the movie and his character purpose, which, again, going into the film, I did not, like, particularly expect, you know? And oh, man, you know, like, I love the time jump at the end. We'll definitely talk about that in a little bit, but I'll just say this real quick. You know, when he essentially, you know, couldn't get back to her at the end, and she was gone, and that, you know, before Cable had done the time jump or whatever to save him and all that, like, there were a couple times where I thought the movie could have ended, and I was okay with all of the endings, like, you know, before all the time jumps and stuff like that. Like, it was perfect in so many ways.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I thought it was really funny at the end when he kept dying, and everyone was just standing there watching him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That had me in tears. Like, I even laughed harder the second time because knowing it's coming and then waiting for the audience's reaction really had me go.
Yeah, yeah, and in true Deadpool fashion, man. But
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so, you know, crazy opening, and, you know, we see some of the characters we love from the last one. You know, essentially he's all, you know, down in the dumps and pretty much hanging it up. And then, you know, Colossus, Megasonic, I can't even say it. Who was her friend? Was it Yuki or I can't remember.
Yuki. Yeah.
That was cute. Like, the little wave he kept doing with her. I was dying every time.
Yeah. We both, when we were watching the movie, we laughed every time. He's like, hey, Yukio!
Yeah, it's so great. And then Colossus, I loved in the last one, man. It just reminded me of the cartoon Colossus from the, like, you know, I want to say the animated series, but you know what I mean, like the Fox cartoon. Like, I loved the Colossus so much. And he was so good in this. He goes to the X mansion and all the jokes going on there. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, the X mansion is, I would probably say, the second hardest that I laughed through the whole movie, because him just wheeling through the house, also as a bald guy, just destroying everything, making jokes about all the old white men on the walls, and there's just like busts everywhere that are falling over. It was just classic. Like, you literally put Deadpool in the X-Men mansion for like a minute and he's destroying shit already. It was just a perfect sequence.
And you see him in the chair and you're just like, what's going on here? And he's being so disrespectful. And then he pulls that line like, how, you know, it's a school. How is there nobody here? Which had me dying already before, you know, obviously that big, I don't even want to say Easter egg, that big kind of reveal. That was amazing, man, when, you know, the doors open and, of course, you see, like, the first-class X-Men. I saw Beast. I saw Quicksilver. Kate said she saw Cyclops. And was Professor X there?
Yeah, Professor X was there, but young Professor X.
Yeah, which actually doesn't really check out, you know, with the timeline. But, again, none of those movies really make sense with each other anyway. So, you know, it was just an awesome cameo. Like, really, really fun. And they just closed the door because they don't want to deal with Deadpool.
Yeah, and that was the way that I took it, was that they were hiding from him. Not that they were, like, doing something special, but they were so crammed together, it was like, quick, hide from Deadpool. So yeah. It was actually really funny. And it's funny to think that Ryan Reynolds went to Fox and was like, hey, listen, can I just use your X-Men characters for, like, a quick five-second shot? You know, I just want to throw him in my movie for the fans. But meanwhile, he's, like, making fun of the X-Men characters, you know? And they probably had no idea.
That was Ryan Reynolds' move. I didn't know that. No way. That's really cool. Did not know that, man. That's awesome. And at the same time, it kind of... I know I love Colossus in this, but it kind of shows you that, like, Colossus actually kind of goes the extra mile and cares about Wade, you know, and wants to make him a better hero and better person. But then, you know, so then they make him the trainee, and that yellow penny or whatever he was wearing with the X on it, I was dying, man. Like, that was another perfect touch.
Which I just bought for my new cosplay.
Stop! Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you have to send me a picture of that. That's amazing.
I will when I get it. I'm pretty excited. It's going to be funny.
That's awesome. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that part was hysterical, and... it was really funny to see Deadpool showing up with Colossus and Negasonic, and you could tell Negasonic loves him, but she just cannot deal with him, and she knew it was a mistake from the beginning, but Colossus was like, it was his last effort to try to motivate, you know, Wade to join the X-Men and be a good guy, but it went completely opposite, so
yeah.
It was kind of a funny.
Yep. So, of course, we have that scene now where we're kind of introduced to, like, the villain at the orphanage, what was it, Rusty or whatever his name, obviously Fire Fist, you know, it was the comic book reference, who you had said had been a collection of a bunch of characters rolled into one. What did you think about this kid? And, you know, there were a few villains, but if anyone really was the villain for the most part of this movie, it was him. You know, obviously Cable came back to stop him, which, you know, Cable's always like the time traveling guy. I knew a lot about Cable. Let's talk about the kid first, and then we'll talk about Cable a little bit. I thought the actor did a good job, and, you know, I thought it was interesting. Like we always say, villains are tricky. What did you think about the villain in this one?
I actually really liked him, because before I saw the movie, I saw an ensemble of the whole group of everyone from the Deadpool movie doing an interview on one of these talk shows. I think it was a BBC one, but the kid was there, and I hadn't seen anything with the kid yet, and his personality... in the movie is pretty much in line with who he is in real life, and it's hysterical. So watching that interview before I saw the movie just made it all the better for me, because I'm like, that's what this kid's like. So I really liked the character. I thought he was really down to earth, and I thought he mixed with Wade really well, in the sense that, like, even Wade's BS, like, went right over the kid's head, in the sense, like, he just didn't give a crap. And, you like, I love the scene where Juggernaut rips Deadpool in half, and he's doing, like, a fake rope, like, as he's walking away.
Yeah.
It's just funny, because, like, he knew how to get Deadpool, like, at his own game, and it was a great character, and I thought he evolved really well throughout the movie, and it was good to see, you know, a young kid that wasn't, you know, a young, good-looking, like, Disney kid in a movie that, you know, is a prototypical young actor. Blonde hair, you know, blue eyes, or brown hair, blue eyes. It was just like a normal, everyday kid, and they put him in, like, a major role in the film, which I thought was great.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was really interesting. I feel like they really nailed it. And again, like, you know, I love how the Deadpool universe obviously, you know, ties into the X-Men universe. Like, you're dealing with, you know, I'm a kid, I just found out I had powers, you know, I'm an outcast, you know, either you're going to run away or you're going to freak out or have all these emotions. And I feel like they tackled that, which they always do in these X-Men shows or movies, head on. And then they brought in more of that X-Men universe with the collars and stuff like that. So I thought that was really interesting as well.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the Days of Future Past, I think it was.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a huge part of Days of Future Past. And actually, one of the things that I noticed the second time watching the movie was that the school, quote-unquote school that he stayed at, was called the Essex School, which I've been waiting for Deadpool to make a mention of Mr. Sinister to be in the Deadpool universe.
Cause oh, true.
I feel like he fit perfectly.
Right.
And Mr. Sinister's name is Nathaniel Essex.
Really? So, huh.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of... I don't know if it was an Easter egg, like, more to come, wink, wink, or, if, you know, they just did it as a joke, but...
And this is, like, the school orphanage kind of place that you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, where Firefist was.
Yeah. You know, okay. I was just reading something, and again, I don't know if there's truth to this, or there's a theory or something like that, that they're saying, like, Kilgrave had a hand in, you know, this school with this kid and some... thing, but they couldn't use Kilgrave, and they probably didn't want to anyway because of Jessica Jones and all that. But interesting little thing I just read. I'll have to read up more on that. But there definitely were a lot of like cool little Easter eggs and stuff like that. Again, tying it to the X-Men universe is really, really cool.
Yeah, and if you look at that school, it's a great juxtaposition to, you know, Professor X's, because there you have like a school where kids are tortured and they're like taught to believe in themselves and, you know, trust in their abilities and whatnot, and they turn into supervillains. And then you have the X-Men Academy, which is like, you know, we all know what that is, and they turn into the X-Men, they turn into superheroes.
Wow.
So I thought it was a great way for them to kind of pit Deadpool in between those two types of, like, methods of trying to, you know, harness the abilities of these young kids.
Wow, really... really well said. You know, it's like right in front of our faces, and I didn't even think of it like that, man. Good point, man. There's the writer in you right there. Really good stuff. So we talked a lot about the X-Men. Let's talk about one of our favorite parts of the movie, the X-Force, man. Now, I remember X-Force from the cards, the comic books, and the action figures. And you had Cable, you had Domino... you had Shatterstar, which we were excited about going into the movie anyway. I'm trying to think of other X-Force people. I think there's like Wolfsbane and stuff like that. I'm trying to remember like the core. There were some rotating members and stuff like that. But
yeah, you pretty much nailed the core of them.
Yeah, exactly. I can't, you know, was it Richter? I can't even remember. But so obviously, I mean, what did you think about the assembling of X-Force and how it played out? Let's leave it at that, man. What did you think of the X-Force and the characters?
So, when they first started assembling them, and, you know, I kind of figured Deadpool's going to be sort of limited in what they're allowed to use, and I wasn't sure, like, what characters they had rights to from X-Force, but I was like, all right, Shatterstar there. He was my favorite character in X-Force, so... that was just enough for me. I'm like, I could take the rest of them and Bedlam, and it's like, okay, we'll figure it out. I'm sure Terry Crews will be hysterical.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they all were, because they died hysterically.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and the way Shatterstar died with, like, his hair getting in his face and flies into a helicopter, I mean, I think that was definitely top three moments in the movie for me. I just love how they made fun of superhero deaths, and they just went all out. And then Deadpool comes back in time and the only one he bothers save is Pete, right?
Yeah, that was great. What do you call him? Honey Bear or something like that?
Honey Bear.
Honey
Bear, Sugar Bear, something like that.
Sugar Bear, I think that was it.
Yeah.
That was, all that stuff was great, man. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, obviously I didn't know that was going to happen. And, you know, I was telling Kate, like, you know how, I try to base how much I like a movie off my, like, initial reaction in the theater, man. Like, I try not to overthink it when I get out. Like, it's my initial reaction to things. And my hand was, like, over my face, like, in shock, or, like, with a big smile on my face, or I was laughing. There was a lot of movement from me watching this movie, man. And that's how I know I liked it. So when that X-Force thing went down, where they all went out one by one, I was like, what? And I was, like, laughing about it. And I was in, man, like, what an interesting, like, misdirect going into that movie, man. And then you have the vanishing dude, and of course it turns out to be Brad Pitt. I went to Kate, I was like, is that Brad Pitt? I don't even know why they used Terry Crews. He was barely in it, you know? I forget what was his character. I don't even remember. I can't.
He was Bad Blood.
Oh, okay. And then Shatterstar. I mean, I know you love Shatterstar. What'd you think of Shatterstar? You couldn't really even judge it, right? Like,
I mean, I thought the guy that they casted for him, he fit the part, like the way he looked.
Yeah,
and I sort of liked his attitude that he had, that like you're not better than me at anything kind of thing.
Yep.
I thought his costume looked a little goofy, but again, it fits because it's Deadpool, so they could kind of get away with it. But I loved when he died. Deadpool was like, "Well, I found one thing that you're not better than me at."
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, he's so nonchalant about all the deaths. He's so casual about everything. It's I hate to say it, but it's hilarious, you know.
It really was funny, and I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, I'd have to go back and check this, but I'm pretty sure that they had scenes with Shatterstar in the trailer that were never put in the film, and they did it to like completely throw us off.
Love it. I'm all about it. Yeah, this movie just had like a good build up, and Ryan Reynolds with all the promos with Hugh Jackman and all his little things. I mean, he's at, you know, Deadpool's on 7-Eleven right now on all the windows, and you know, and yes, I got you a Deadpool straw, but he's on the Slurpee. Yeah, I got you, man. And you know, he's on the Slurpee cups, he's on the 7-Eleven app. Like, you know, it's like a rated R movie character, like, you know, out all over the place at 7-Eleven. Like, it's such a huge thing, and the build up and the promo for the movie was great, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the promo leading up to the first Deadpool movie was the best I've ever seen, and I'd probably still stick with that, but
yep.
I really loved the way that they approached this movie also. Like, it was almost like they couldn't top what they did, but they didn't really fall off at all. They just like kept it right on par with what they were doing the first time.
Yeah, and you know what? Now that you mention it, going into this one, I remember seeing something like Ryan Reynolds had posted something, or the official Deadpool posted something going into this movie, like, hey, you know, the movie's out today, like, please no spoilers, like, don't ruin it for anybody, and you know, just go have fun, and you know, keep it to yourselves for a little bit. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is Deadpool? Like, you know, this isn't like the new Star Wars, like, you know. So I'm thinking, like, for Deadpool? And it really, I mean, it has some substantial scenes and character development and deaths and things like that, man. So that really intrigued me going into it, just seeing something like that.
Yeah, and Vanessa's death definitely did shock me. I was kind of hoping, but it's probably smart that they didn't do it, but I was kind of hoping that she would have turned into Copycat, because she actually does turn into, like, a superhero.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her name's Copycat, and her first appearance, funnily enough, is... Domino's first appearance is Copycat playing Domino. So Domino's first appearance wasn't actually really Domino.
Huh. Interesting.
Which is really funny, yeah, in the comics. So I thought, since this was going to be Domino's first appearance in the Deadpool movies, it was going to be Vanessa playing Domino.
Oh, but interesting.
They didn't do that. And I'm glad they didn't do that, because I really liked the actor that they got to play Domino.
You know what? That was exactly where I was going to go. And that Copycat sounds really familiar. I can't place it in my head. But Domino, I've known and, you know, seen a couple, incarnations of her, you know, and, you know, like those superhero beatdowns and stuff like that. But I agree with you, man. I thought the actress was phenomenal. Like, I loved her. I was, you know, I was like, oh, Domino's cool or whatever. But I really loved her in this movie. And, of course, her power being luck and all that, it was perfect.
Yeah, and they did it, like, a great way. I love how they did it sort of, like, Final Destination, where there's, like, a sequence of events that happen that, like, give her good luck, and, you know, I don't know how that works or how her power works, but it makes it more interesting. Instead of her just, like, having lucky things happen to her, like, the sequence of events leading up to it is what makes it fun, you know?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, she knocked it out of the park, and she was great. And, you know, when everyone started going out, you're like, is she gonna go out?
I'm so glad she didn't die, because I gotta be honest with you, leaving that movie, there was only two things that I wanted more of, and that was Negasonic and Domino.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I really liked both of them. I really loved Negasonic in that movie. I loved her look. I loved how she... just her whole style changed just a slight bit, but she, like, they didn't, like, mess around with her too much. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, this movie really was a home run, you know? They, you know, I loved Infinity War. I loved Deadpool. I didn't think I was going to get two great movies back to back. And totally different kinds of movies, too. Like, yeah, they're superhero movies. But, you know, I'm not saying I had low expectations going into Deadpool. But I just wanted to go laugh. And, you know, I was, like, really sad at some points. And I was, like, really just, like, giddy at other points, you know?
Yeah, the best feelings when you're watching a movie are laughter and fear, and that's why I love horror movies and I love movies like Deadpool so much. But, you know, when you can walk out of a movie and say, like, your stomach hurts from, like, laughing so hard, that's something that you could take with you from the moment you leave, and you'll just, like, be driving in the car thinking of funny things from the movie and laughing. And not many movies do that, you know. Usually you go see a movie and you're like, okay, that was cool, that was an action movie, that was a Michael Bay movie, all right.
Yeah,
you know, but this didn't have it. This had, like, it resonated with you after you saw it. I mean, so did Infinity War, but in a different way.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
I think that's important for movies.
Yeah, man, it needs to make you feel. And I can't believe I'm saying this about a Deadpool movie, but it needs to make you feel something, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It is kind of funny to think that, but yeah. I mean, he is such a sad character. Even in the comics, this movie played to that, but even in the comics, he's constantly trying to kill himself, and he just can't. And it just becomes pathetic after a while, and you start feeling bad for him. And there's so much, like, torture, you know, within him that his character is just, I don't know the words to put it to, but it just makes it all that more interesting to me.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds, you know, I mean, I know we're talking about Deadpool, but Ryan Reynolds absolutely just embodies the character and goes the extra mile, you know, for the promos and all that stuff. I mean, he is Deadpool, you know, someone who really owns it, like Robert Downey Jr. with Stark and stuff like that. I love that.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw a question at you. How do you feel about, I know how we feel about Hugh Jackman not being Wolverine anymore, because to me it's like, wow, he became Wolverine even though he wasn't the prototypical Wolverine. And
right.
I feel that way about Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool and Robert Downey being Iron Man. Like, could you ever see yourself watching a comic book movie after all these are over with and these actors are gone, like, feeling that same way about another actor, do you think?
No, I can't, man. You know, it's like, you know, Christopher Reeves is Superman, you know, like, it's just, it's the, you know, the gold standard or the standard, man. It's just, it's perfect. And I'm glad these things happen, man. Hey, dude, I remember, you know, when the superhero movies, like, just started, man, we were working at the movie theater. It was either Spider-Man first or X-Men first when it really started, you know, becoming a thing one after the other. And I remember being in the theater with you watching Hugh Jackman. Like, he's a little bit taller than, you know, Wolverine normally would be. But he was great, you know? Like, that movie's dated now, but he was great.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it just goes to show you that they don't need to hit every chord for, like, every Marvel character. As long as, like, the person embodies that character, then they could be a foot taller in the character. Or, you know, like, they don't need to be the same nationality, you know? It's just hit the right character chords and you'll be fine.
Dude, well said. And even better segue to, you know, speaking about characters and heights and things like that. Josh Brolin, you know, obviously was Thanos in another huge movie. Maybe he's just the one making these movies so good. But Josh Brolin as Cable, man, I'll let you go first. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I thought that he looked like Cable. I loved how they made fun of the fact that he was about 8 inches shorter than Cable.
Yep.
You know, Cable definitely, he has that sort of curmudgeon sort of attitude, and I kind of don't blame him since he's constantly time-shifting, but I thought he nailed it, and I love the fact that they made fun of him, they called him One-Eyed Willie, and made all the other, you know, jokes about characters he's played in other movies, and it was just great all around, and I like the whole scene where he came towards them at the end and was just like, I need help, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you really Struggernaut, now I need you guys, you dumb shit, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of a great way for them to actually join forces, was that they were at least something that Cable was like, great, now I need these guys.
Dude, totally. And you knew Cable and Deadpool would be at odds, but, you know, from the comics, I remember, like, there were legit Deadpool and Cable comics, and just they had that dynamic. You have, like, the really serious, like, you know, badass with, you know, like, vengeance on his mind or time traveling, usually trying to take someone out, and then you have, you know, Deadpool with the color commentary, and they nailed that in this movie. Like, obviously, they were at odds for most of the movie, but it was great. And Deadpool straight up calling him Thanos, like, legit, like, casually calling him Thanos. Again, like, I'm giddy. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. And Josh Brolin's having quite the summer, man. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, he's literally been in two of the biggest movies of the year. That's insane.
It's a secret ingredient, man. It's crazy. He's knocking out of the park. I remember when he was, what, in Men in Black 3, I think it was, and he was, like, the younger Tommy Lee Jones or whatever. And everyone was saying that he nailed it, you know? He's got it, man.
Yeah, no, he's always... Men in Black 3, I think, was, like, the first big Hollywood movie I saw him do in years. I mean, he did No Country for Old Men, I think.
Right, right.
There hadn't been, like, many movies where, you know, they were, like, $300 million summer blockbusters, if any at all, that he was a part of. And it was great to see him kind of... And towards the, I don't want to say the end of his career, but on like the latter half of it, come back and kick some ass and, you know, do a great job the way he did.
Dude, totally, yeah. I loved Cable, and I love what they did with him. Obviously, the time traveling at the ends, like, I didn't necessarily see coming, you know. He's very, I don't want to say self-serving, like, you know, he, again, like, you know, this movie hit some, you know, soft spots, like, he lost his family, you know, he had the teddy bear, you kind of put the pieces together until they, you know, pretty much spelled it out for you. You know, you got a very vivid view of, like, the future a little bit. And, yeah, man, like, you kind of feel for him, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I know they didn't really cover his story that much. They sort of just showed the opening scene and then, like, a flashback, but... I kind of felt for him, and I think it was just enough to, you know, help the movie move along and keep that emotion, like, going. But I just thought that Cable and Deadpool together, and Cable sacrificing, you know, being able to go back to his family, and his excuse was just to stay and make sure that... What do you say, that the Earth doesn't shit itself or shit the bed or something? I forget what it was.
Yeah.
But I thought that was just such a great way to keep him around for future films instead of having him, like, constantly time-jumping.
I agree.
Which could ruin everything, because then it'll spring into, like, the, you know, X-Men movies, which none of us really want anymore, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah. Like, I get what you mean, man. Like, I love the X-Men, and I love that they've pretty much covered all these characters in a bunch of different ways and all these different movies. And it's just, it just never came together, you know? But I feel like that's another good thing about Deadpool. It's just like, it's its own thing. He breaks the fourth wall. He pokes fun at the mistakes of the past. And they really just did it the right way. Instead of making just a funny movie, like, you know, we care about Cable. We care about Deadpool's relationship and all this, man. I know I keep saying it. It just blows my mind how much substance this movie had. It's crazy, man. It was fantastic. I mean, I legit gave it like a 9 out of 10, man. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be as close to 10 as possible without going to 10.
Yeah.
And the only reason was why is because I wanted more Domino and Negasonic. But, I mean... For a sequel, and we all know sequels is usually like sort of the sophomore slump of movies, where the second one is not necessarily the greatest movie. But I felt like this time around, you could honestly say that the second movie was better than the first, and I really couldn't argue with anyone about that.
Yeah, dude, that's me. I said I like the second one better, and I like the first one. Again, my standard, are you going to make the DVD shelf? Yes, I know. I still get DVDs or Blu-rays, but yeah, I don't have the first Deadpool. Maybe I'd pick it up, you know, but this one's insta-buy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll sell, like, a part one and part two Deadpool collection. You know,
absolutely.
Movies in one thing, so you could probably get that or something.
Absolutely, man. Hey, we got to talk about this before I forget. You know, you were talking a little bit about the Juggernaut. I had no idea Juggernaut was going to be in this movie. Again, I try to really stay away from stuff going into it. So I wasn't smart enough to put together the pieces that the big monster that a Fire Fist was trying to talk to, and that was like a cool little thing in the prison, was going to be Juggernaut. I'm sitting there like, oh, who's it going to be? Or is it going to be someone we never heard of? Or like a big, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking like Rancor or something because I watched too much Star Wars. But then it's the Juggernaut, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then you get that Juggernaut versus Colossus fight, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. I was racking my brain when they first cut the, what they call it, the ice box, I think, that they had him in.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was racking my brain trying to figure out who the heck is in there, and I was thinking maybe Sabretooth. Maybe they're doing, like, a big version of Sabretooth, like, from the comic.
Oh, nice. Or Omega Red or something.
Yeah, or the Red, like, one of those big, like, Weapon X dudes, because that would kind of fit in with the Deadpool universe, but I was really shocked it was Juggernaut, and considering that it was all CGI, and it was an all CGI fight, which Deadpool points out hysterically.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun to watch, and one of the most common fights I remember from the 90s when I was reading comic books was Colossus and Juggernaut, and most of the time Juggernaut would kick his ass, but it was always like a good fight to watch, and once in a while Colossus would, you know, get his digs in and he would kick Juggernaut's ass, and it was great to see that like pan out in this movie. So I was really happy with that, and I thought they nailed Juggernaut's character. It's really one of the easiest characters to nail, and I couldn't believe that the X-Men movies completely blew it, but you know, it was great to see him come back and like him get it right this time. So,
and he looked good. And he looked good too. He was like huge, you know, and the costume looked great, you know.
Yeah, and his one-liners were awesome. What did you say? Am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yeah, of course.
When he said, "I'm gonna fuck shit up," is my legal middle name. I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah. And then he did.
And,
go ahead.
The guy said, "I'm going to turn you into a cock ring." That cracked me up. Yeah. Like, so many funny parts with Juggernaut.
Yeah, this is a Deadpool podcast. Of course, you can curse, man. It's got the explicit rating. And then Deadpool making Colossus say the F word at the end just to like appease his like death wish. Come on.
That was so funny.
And Colossus does it too because he's freaking Colossus, man.
It's like the most reluctant ever.
Yeah, and like you're like in the theater like really really sad at this point and he's still cracking jokes, man. I honestly thought like this is how it's gonna play out. Like Cable wants to kill the kid for obvious reasons, you know. Deadpool's like, you know, give me as much time as you can. I think Cable says like 30 seconds. I forget what the stipulation was, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, Deadpool's ultimately going to save this kid and put him on the right path, and then Cable can go back home. And so I thought Cable was going to go back. So the cool thing that Cable stuck around and he used his time jump to save Wade was awesome. Because again, if that hadn't happened and he had just, you know, ended up with Ness and there was no more Deadpool, that's a happy ending for him, man, because he can't die, really. I mean, it's hard for him to die, you know?
Yeah. True. No, I thought they did a great job with the ending, and that was the one place where I felt like the movie, as it was panning out, could have gotten a little messy, but I thought they tied things up really well.
Yeah, because it could have ended on so many different notes, man. Like, I thought it was over pretty much there, and I'm like, all right, he's with her, you know, we're not going to have any more Deadpool movies, probably, and, you know, there's this big merger going on, and, you know, they're going to worry about all these other characters getting them involved with the Marvel, you know, the MCU and all this stuff. So I'm like, all right, maybe this is kind of like his goodbye, and I like it. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of heart here, and like you said, the, what was it, Take On Me, you know. It was great, but then Cable does the time jump and saves him. And everything, like, checks out, you know? Time travel's always messy in these movies. Just watch any of the other X-Men movies, you know? But it checked out. I mean, just what a perfect ending.
Yeah, for sure. I really enjoyed it, and the fact that he just kept dying was like a Family Guy joke, where it just keeps going and going and going, and it starts off funny, and then it's kind of like flatlining, and then it gets funny again, and I just thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, and it was interesting with how they used the collar to kind of, you know, be able to stop him and all that. That was very interesting.
Yeah, that was really cool. I was kind of thinking to myself, if he did die and you took the collar off, would he still, you know, heal himself? Because it's a possibility, but that's just my comic book geek minds.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I always wonder crazy stuff like that, man. I'm the same. I'm like, can he drown? You know, like, you know, I always wonder stuff like that. You know, I get, you know, it's crazy, man. So then, you know, so we get this perfect ending, and we forgot to mention his roommate, by the way, the baby legs and all. Oh my gosh, that was disturbing.
So that part was the hardest I laughed in the whole movie. I couldn't stop laughing at that part. It still makes me laugh out loud when I think about it. It's just so funny. Like when he gets up and he goes to like shake Cable's hand and he's like not even half the size of him. It just has me in tears just thinking about it.
Yeah. So it's like a poke at like superhero like cliches, you know, like where they shake hands and stuff. It was awesome, man. But
yeah, and he also I don't know if you read this, but it was on the internet a lot. I noticed it during the movie, but where he like uncrosses and crosses his legs, that was kind of a homage to the famous Basic Instinct scene.
Yep.
She's getting interrogated, and I thought that was hysterical.
Oh yes, yeah. I could have done without that, but yes, I caught the reference. Yes, I immediately knew what was going on. But again, fantastic scene, man. And like we said, like they wrapped it up in perfect fashion. You know, there's a lot of ways this could have ended, and it was awesome. I can't believe, again, we're talking about a Deadpool movie like this. So then we go, you know, in true Deadpool form to the post-credit scene. Oh my gosh, man. Do you want to take the lead on this one? I mean, how good were the post-credit scenes?
I mean, it's sort of what we always wanted. We always wanted someone to fix that Deadpool, right? So to see Deadpool just go and friggin' blow out old Deadpool's brains, that character made no sense. Like, why are the blades in his arms longer than the point from his hand to his elbow? Like, how does he bend his arm? Like, there's so many things about it that make no sense. Like, he's Deadpool. Why would you sew his mouth shut? Like, his greatest weapon is his mouth. Like, just, oh, I hated that. Everyone that was a Deadpool fan hated that character. Brian Reynolds probably more than anyone.
Yeah.
So it was great to just see him blow him away, and it just bounced. And then the whole Green Lantern scripts was welcome to the big leagues, and he gets his head blown out. That was so funny.
Yeah, Kate's favorite superhero was Green Lantern until we saw that movie. And then, I mean, yeah, it was just, but yeah, what do you say, welcome to the big leagues or whatever. And then he knocks him out. But even it, like when they use the footage from the first Wolverine movie, I think it was, like they use the legit footage and Deadpool just pops in and takes out the other Deadpool. And then he shoots him, but then he keeps shooting him. I was dying.
That was the first part, was he kept unloading on him. Like, sorry, just clearing up the, what do you say, just cleaning up the timeline.
Yeah, and but you could just see like how frustrated he was at the character. He's like, pff, 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 pff. You know, that part had me dying. And it was just, like the perfect way to walk out of the theater with a smile on your face and poke fun at like the inconsistency and the crazy stuff that happened in the X-Men movies. Man, it's so perfect, so perfect.
Yeah, it was great. And then obviously he goes back in time and he saves Vanessa. With the Cable's time shift device that he had.
Yeah. And so she's back in action, man. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, which is, it's good in pure Deadpool fashion. You know, he flips the script on everyone and goes and saves his girl, which is great. And he kills the guy with the butter knife, which is hysterical. And then I think the key thing here, and this is just my hopes, but if he did face off against Mr. Sinister in the third movie, the time shift device would be a great way to create Deadpool's teleport ability, which they haven't used in the movie.
Oh my gosh. I never even thought, dude, like I'm fully aware of his teleport ability and like, you know, in the video games and stuff. It's like really cool and fun to use. And I've watched both these movies and it didn't even occur to me until you just said it right now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which would be amazing. But I mean, I understand why they haven't used it, because he would be overpowered.
Yeah.
But if he's facing someone like Mr. Sinister, I mean, having a teleport ability would kind of balance everything out a little bit and make it possible that he could win a fight, you know? So, I don't know. We'll see. They may have just been nod at it. They're not going to actually do it. It would be cool, though.
Interesting, man. And lastly, real quick, I mean, since we're on the topic, you know, today they just announced they're making like a Jared Leto Joker movie. Apparently, we've heard, you know, they're going to make a Boba Fett movie. You know, we're going with every character, every which way, you know, even if it's not, you know, like I wasn't in love with Jared Leto's Joker by any means, or, you know, a lot of the DC Universe stuff outside of Wonder Woman. What do you think is going to happen here with Deadpool? Or is there going to be a Deadpool 3? I mean, I'm going to say it's going to make money. Or are they going to do an X-Force movie? What have you heard? What do you think's going to happen? You think they're going to go that Mr. Sinister route?
I think they're definitely going to make more movies. I think Ryan Reynolds has pretty much found his calling. Like, his whole career is like built up to this character, and I don't think he's going to let it go that quickly. I also know that when they signed them on after the first movie, they gave him a contract for 5 films.
Oh.
So we can get upwards around 5 movies for Deadpool, but whether or not they, you know, Fox ends up wanting to do that is up to them. I guess it depends how much money it keeps making. So we'll see. I don't know. I feel like that there's, out of all the comic book characters that you can make movies about, I feel like Deadpool is the one that could just keep going. And honestly, I'd rather them make one more movie, and then I'd love for Deadpool to get a Netflix TV show, so you can get like 10 episodes of Deadpool Adventures, which would be amazing.
That would work, man. You think Ryan Reynolds would do that?
Yeah, because Netflix has money coming out of their ears, so they could probably make a deal with Fox and Ryan Reynolds and just do a Netflix series, which would be so much better than just one-off movies like every year or two.
I love it, man. That's a great idea. I would be so in for that, man. Perfect. And,
yeah.
And then lastly, I just got to ask you real quick before I forget. You know, we did the Infinity War podcast a while ago. You know, we both really, really loved the movie. You know, a lot of the heroes are, you know, spoiler alert, you should know by now, but the heroes are out of commission right now, you know, out of existence, dead, however you want to say it. Do you think we're going to see any sort of crossover with Deadpool in any of these movies? You think it's going to happen? Maybe not even the next Avengers movie, but down the line, are we going to see Deadpool just, you know, comic relief in some sort of Avengers movie?
I could see, like, a Deadpool team-up movie. The problem with Deadpool is no matter what movie you put him in, he's going to take over the screen.
You're right, correct, yeah.
So I feel like a team-up movie, like a Wolverine-Deadpool movie could happen. I could see Hugh Jackman coming back to do that.
That's what I need. I was literally just going to say, that's all I want is just Wolverine and Deadpool. Love it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it would be the ultimate movie. It would be like basically 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte, you know? The cranky guy and like the comedy guy. It would be perfect. And, you know, I obviously we would love to see that happen, but I really can't see him venturing into the Marvel Universe. I feel like a little too tame for him.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, well, you know, you never know. After Infinity War 2, I haven't done any research, but I really don't know where they're going to go with it after that.
Yeah.
Or what's the planning. I just know Captain Marvel's and Ant-Man and Wasp are like the next movies before Infinity War. Maybe one other movie, but I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'll say this. There was a time, you know, we were talking about, you know, oh man, I wish we could get Spider-Man in the Avengers movies, you know? Remember, that was a big thing, you know? And we got Spider-Man a couple times, 3 times now already in the movies, you know, with another movie on the way.
Yeah, it's almost like, didn't it feel like we just got the Spider-Man movie and then he was in literally in movies back to back to back, and it's just, it happened so quickly, I almost feel like I didn't have a chance to, like, enjoy it.
Yeah, no, he's over with the kids, though, man. All the kids talk about is Spider-Man out of all the characters. in those movies. Yeah. I guess I can relate to him a little bit more, so it's really cool. But, you know, I'll just say this. Never say never. Hopefully we see Deadpool either on Netflix, we see him in the next Infinity War, even if it's just a small spot, or we see, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, which would also be an awesome fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shit. I mean, you can't really even say who would win, to be honest with you, because Deadpool would probably let Wolverine win just so he could cut him in half and then still lay there on the ground in pieces and talk shit to him.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
I actually read the other day online that one of Wolverine's only and greatest fears is that he lives long enough for everyone that he knows, you know, that they die, and that the only person left to talk to on planet Earth is Deadpool.
That's freaking great, man.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
That's awesome.
I have a couple Easter eggs. I don't know if it's something you might want to throw in.
Yeah, for sure, man. Go ahead, take it away.
Cable's gun that goes to 11 was a nod to Spinal Tap.
Yes. Caught that.
I caught that in the movie too, but I wasn't 100% sure if that was something directed towards in the comics or that they were referencing Spinal Tap, but I thought that was great.
Yeah, anytime I see an 11 on some sort of instrument knob, definitely Spinal Tap for sure.
Yeah. Deadpool jokes about Domino's powers being stupid, and he says that only an idea like that can come from some guy who can't draw feet. And I don't know if you've ever Googled this online. It's actually really hysterical to read, but there's all these different online articles about how Rob Liefeld, the creator of Deadpool, is horrible at drawing feet.
No way.
Yeah, it's really funny. But he is, though. He's like such a talented artist, but when it comes to feet, it's bad news. It's really funny. You don't really notice it until you look for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's like my favorite artist from the 90s, but it just cracked me up because I never noticed it as a kid. So, I thought that was really funny.
I love that kind of stuff. And again, does the character justice with the history and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Deadpool number 68 had the scooter in it, and Deadpool 898 had the funeral scene where he pops up out of the casket and, like, kills people.
Oh, wow, so, okay.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny, because I was like, I remember the scooter thing from reading it back in the day, but when I read the scooter thing, I saw the funeral nod there, and I was like, holy crap, I didn't even know that was from a comic, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
And one of the other things that I thought of when I was watching the movie, I don't know if you remember in the beginning when he's in that bathhouse, like, killing all those, martial artists or whatever?
Yep.
And he gets, like, the blood in one of his eyes, and his eye turns red.
Oh, I hated that, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, because, like, when he wears the X-Force suit, his eyes turn red. And when I was watching the movie at the very end, and he got blasted by the kid that, Fire Fist? I'm sorry. And his suit was, like, covered in ash. It looked just like the X-Force suit.
Yeah, I felt like they were trying to do something like that. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, and I was thinking, if he got blood in his eyes in the end, and then there was, like, the scene that happened at the end with the explosion and the ash getting all over the suit, he would have been purely, like, X-Force suit, like, from head to toe, which would have been really cool. But I like the little, like, Easter egg there that I was willing to watch.
Yeah,
and that's all I got.
No, you got one more, my friend, because one of our favorite movies, Just Friends.
Oh, yeah.
With these, it wasn't the exact sweater he was wearing, and I forget at what point he was wearing this, but what was it, Best Friends or Purever?
Purever, yeah. What does it say, like, Cuddles Come and Go or something like that? I forget what the saying is.
Kate has informed me that it's Shakes Come and Go,
but Friends are Forever.
Which is the greatest shirt.
Yeah. I think in this movie it said Purever or something. Like, it was, like, you know, loosely based off it. But, like, Ryan Reynolds had to be like, yeah, I'm going to wear this shirt.
You know what's funny is, like, right before you and Kate got married, I actually was trying to find a way to get that shirt made, but your face is on it. But I couldn't get it made in time for your wedding, so I ended up not doing it.
It's all good. My head was too big for the image, let's just be honest.
I thought it would have been a great, like, additional, like, wedding gift.
Yeah, that would have been awesome, man. Well, dude, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your time coming on. You are the Deadpool expert. We'll be seeing you at Comic-Con, and I think you got a couple different Deadpool suits ready to go now, right?
Yeah, I have my X-Force suit that I got, and I'm in the process of putting that together. I have the actual suit, but I'm waiting on, like, accessories, and the mask hasn't showed up yet, but I should be wearing it to a con in Connecticut in July, mid-July, so I'll be doing trainee Deadpool, X-Force, and then Winter Soldier Cap that weekend.
That's awesome, man. Good for you. Dude, I got to see this Penny. I think that is just like the bet. You're going to be better than all the other Deadpools just because that's amazing.
It'll be pretty funny. I'm hoping there's not another one there, though. That's a trainee. Although that could be fun. We could have fun with it.
Awesome, man. I know you will. All right, Jeff, thanks for a few minutes, man. We'll talk later, bro. Take care. Peace.
Sounds good. See you guys later.
Hey guys, thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/BobCulturePodcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout out to my patrons, Jay Crow, Shannon Kruz, and of course, Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.